This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome. Today, I am going to talk to you about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and that is say what you mean, but with love. I've come a long way, and as my family can probably attest to, and so I wanted to share with you some of my mistakes and also ways to combat speaking harshly, especially to those you love. This is podcast 184, and today our sponsor is Media Angels. You can find more information about Media Angels at mediaangels.com. Well, you know, we always tend in relationships to hurt the ones that we love the most. Isn't that true? And so I wanted to share with you just some of the pitfalls that I've fallen into, as well as someone who does conversations and actually is excellent at, you know, sharing some hard, messages, especially with our kids, and that's my husband. And I tried really hard to get him to let me interview him, and one of these days I will. But he does an excellent job in talking to our kids in a way that they listen and they don't get upset. And, you know, of course, every once in a while they do, but especially when it comes to the area of sports. So, you know, I try to be a mom that is understanding, and I'm very supportive of my kids and playing sports. And you've probably, you know, heard me talk about this before, but for those of you that are new, I will just give you a little bit of a rundown. I married a man who is totally opposite of me, and I'd rather have my nose in a book or sit on the beach and, you know, take long walks. And my husband doesn't like to read. He only takes me to the beach because he loves me. Otherwise, he probably would never go. And, you know, we are opposites in so many different ways. One is that I tend to have a temper, and I always, you know, attributed it to my, you know, Italian heritage, and, you know, we can always have a gazillion excuses, right? And, you know, he is more even-keeled. He's very easygoing. And, you know, he likes to listen more than he likes to talk. So really, God put us together. You know, it's like the perfect spouse for me, where I can, you know, run my mouth and tell him all sorts of things, and he's always listening and has some great input. But, you know, with me in particular, with relationships, I feel like my conversations tend to be dependent on how I feel. So if everything's going great, then, of course, you know, I'm going to be more understanding if somebody messes up in the family. As opposed to if I'm stressed or upset, then that's when we tend to have conversations that we regret. In the perfect world, of course, one in which none of us live, we can hope to speak lovingly and kindly to our loved ones, our spouse, our children, our parents, our siblings. But life happens, and typically we often say things in the heat of anger that we regret. So I know so many of us are overloaded, and we don't need another, you know, lecture or podcast on, you know, do this, don't do that, and do this, don't do that. But as I've grown and matured, I've learned a lot, and that's the whole topic, you know, with this podcast. It's Vintage Homeschool Moms. And, you know, things that I've learned along the way, and the fact that now it's my turn to mentor and to help you guys, especially those of you with younger children. And, you know, my daughter is actually another one. I think she got that from her dad, which is good because she has a big family. But my daughter Christina is really good. She and her husband, the way they talk to the children and the way they, you know, get the children to do what they want them to do, but without being angry and yelling, and, you know, and how they discuss things. And, you know, not surprisingly, I've learned a lot from them. And, you know, even if you, I want to preface this with, a lot of times when we're angry, we'll just apologize, you know, for those of us that can. You know, I know there's some out there probably listening that say, you know, it's really hard for my, you know, my husband gets mad and he doesn't apologize, or I get upset and I really have a hard time apologizing. But even with apologies, you know, we can, the apology helps you more so sometimes than the person that you've hurt. And I remember listening to a friend one time, and she didn't just say, you know, because we're not allowed to just say, I'm sorry. They had to say, you know, I'm asking your forgiveness. And that little gem is really important, because if you're asking for someone's forgiveness, then they really understand that you are, you know, upset that you hurt them and that you want to rectify things. Saying I'm sorry doesn't really require anything back. It's, again, putting the person that you hurt, the heavy lifting goes on their shoulders with having to say, you know, yes, I forgive you. And I think I really love that, you know, fact that you can just say, you know, will you forgive me? And put it on yourself, because you're the one who hurt them. I mean, I've heard of families that don't talk to each other for years, and I definitely don't want that for any of you or for myself. And only by showing our love for each other can we really, you know, alleviate that kind of thing. And, you know, when you're talking about saying what you mean, I want to set the stage here. And one of the issues I have found is that sometimes you're having to read between the lines. Have you ever had someone who's talking to you about something and then says, do you understand? And you're like, no, I don't understand. In fact, I'm more confused than when you first began speaking. Well, in this situation, you can use, you know, a very effective technique, effective learning, and repeat back what you think they've said in order to clarify the situation. And I've worked with a lady who, we started, it's a ministry, and they started a publishing company. And I helped them get a book launched and helped them with specifics for that book. And this lady was in the business world. In fact, she was one of the ones that helped start the Disney stores and put the Disney stamp on the Disney stores when they first launched. And recently she told me that they started with 6 stores, and by the time she retired, they had, you know, a ridiculous amount of stores that she had been you know, instrumental in overseeing to make sure that, you know, they had the little Disney insignia. But one of the things in working with this lady that I have really come to appreciate is that she's very good at listening, and she uses that technique I just shared with you. If I tell her something, she'll say, okay, so what you're telling me is, and she clarifies it. And I remember learning this technique as a teacher, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's just so, you know, you're belittling the child if you're asking that. But they can tell you, you know, no, that's not what I meant. And then you clear up the whole situation. So, you know, if you had a child, for example, that, you know, says something like, or your spouse, you know, I don't want to go to the church picnic. You can say something like, so you're telling me that you don't want to go to the church picnic. And the answer is going to be either a yes or no, or they might say something like this. You know, I really don't want to, you know, spend a lot of time having you prepare food and spend the time, you know, packing the car. And, you know, they'll go about it a roundabout way. And that's where you would have to, you know, you're trying to read between the lines, and you're going to say, so you don't want to go to the church picnic. And they may just say, yes, you're right, I don't, or no, that's not what I meant. I just meant, you know, really what I was saying. So sometimes in relationships, you have to know that person and know what they're trying to say. Because I have some in my family are very cryptic, and then they get annoyed that I just haven't, you know, clued in to what they're trying to say. So those kind of things will really hurt, you know, help, you know, alleviate the hurt. But it doesn't help to be critical, like, gosh, you never say what you mean, or I don't understand what you're saying. You know, those kinds of blanket statements are something to avoid. And some people, too, also have a more critical spirit. You know, I've noticed that in my grandchildren, and you know, I try to be as uplifting as I possibly can. And I notice, and I swear this is a gift of the Holy Spirit now, that when I'm being critical, I want the Lord to kind of like tap me on the shoulder. And a situation came up with one of my, you know, siblings. And, you know, as I was thinking about it and sharing stuff with my husband, I caught myself and I said, you know what? I'm not going to let that bother me, because the only person that it's going to bother is me. And it's going to bring me down. So not that I was going to bring this to their attention, but just that I noticed it and I caught it. And so, you know, that's important to be in prayer, too, so that the Lord can help you with that. You know, we're complex individuals and God's given us many talents, but being critical isn't one of them, or shouldn't be. So if you tend to be in this category, you'll have a harder time speaking in love, but it is possible. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to share just some of the things that my husband has done that I am just so blessed to have this man in my life. And also, I want to give you my 5-point strategy for saying what you mean, but with love. We'll be right back.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a 3-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Podcast 184, Say What You Mean with Love. You know, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that what comes out of our mouths is a microcosm of what's in our heart. So we need to really be filled with the Holy Spirit, and whether it is reading the Word to God, of God, or journaling or praying to God, you know, that's really important. But sometimes, even if we have the best intentions, we just may not know how our family wants us to respond to something. And this was really brought home recently. We were at my daughter's softball game. We were blessed to be able to go to Cocoa Beach, where her college team flew down to play in a tournament. And so we live in Florida, so for us it was just a few hours drive up the coast to be able to get to see her. And so after she played, and this is a tournament that doesn't really count, I don't think. It's not part of her year, but this is the first game because they live in a colder climate that they've, you know, actually had live pitching and been outside. In fact, I noticed on my little weather app that it was going to be snowing there in the next couple of days. So as we're enjoying, you know, our balmy, sunny weather, and my daughter played a 2.5-hour softball game, which if you know softball, that's like an hour longer than normal. You know, I asked her, I said, so how do you think you did? And she very kindly said, Mom, that isn't a question you should ask. Now, I thought she did great, but obviously she didn't. However, when my husband walked up, you know, he said to her, he asked her a question. He said, so how do you think that ball you hit to right field, you know, how did that feel? And she goes, you know, whatever her answer was. And he goes, well, I think you were pulling your shoulder a little bit. Did you feel that? And she goes, well, now that you mention it, and I'm thinking, gosh, you were up at bat like 6 or 7 times. She bats kind of at the top of the order. And I thought, you know, how could you remember that? But he just kind of very gently pointed out some things that he observed, and he asked her what she thought, and they had a great conversation, obviously better than the one I had with my daughter. And my kids have worked with me through the years, and obviously I'm still learning, you know, of what to ask and what not to ask. Because after she said that, I gave her a hug and a kiss on the cheek, and it's like she's patting me on the head. I'm like, I know, Mom. It wasn't that, you know, I learn very quickly with that kind of thing, because normal conversations that you would have with someone, you know, because I did share with her, I thought she did really well. She got quite a few hits. She had runners batted in. She didn't strike out at all, even though some of her balls were caught. So I thought all in all, you know, that it was a very good game. She did good in the field, you know, a couple little mess ups, but, you know, again, you know, she played shortstop, and one of the balls that came to her kind of hopped, and she caught it, and then it went up, and you know, it she got it, but by the time she got it to first base, you know, it was too late. So that was another thing that my husband could point out later with love and say, you know, typically when you field a ball in field and you only really get one chance, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. She goes, yeah, I shouldn't have thrown it to first. Not that you know, didn't get overthrown. You know, I'm thinking, no, it was a good try, and you know, it was too late. So you just, you know, eat it and you just throw it back to the pitcher. So I guess that what I'm trying to share here is that, you know, while they're, he's instructing them, he's doing it with love. He has a lot of knowledge, and it's being helpful. And so for me, I have to know what it is that I can talk about and what they really don't want me giving them any feedback, or, you know, like for example, if my daughter strikes out, I'm not allowed to say, well, I didn't think that was a strike anyway. You know, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's being really supportive. But in the past, I've learned that that's not helpful and, you know, doesn't make anything better. So as I, you know, to me, that's a little bit on the humorous side, because I try really hard, but I'm just like, I never played sports, and I never played and I did play in college, but the only reason they let me play was because I was president of my sorority, and I made them put me in for basketball and for softball. I actually, back in the day, could hit the ball, but I never really played anything other than intramurals. And so, you know, my kids know that, and their dad got a baseball scholarship, so obviously they're going to be more in tune with what he's saying to them. But either way, you know, when we're trying to say things, and we can be very critical like he is sometimes, but he says it with love, and they know that he's, you know, able to help them. And even though I say things with love, and I say, you know, exactly what I'm thinking, you know, really what I'm saying is, you know, I love you. And they're just, I said to them, what can I say? And they said, nothing, just you being there is being very supportive of us. So that's really helpful to me, but I'm such a run of the mouth that I want to say more. And obviously it's not something that they want me to say. So I have to leave it at that. But I wanted to give you just five little things that will help you in conversations and being able to be more specific, kind of more like a five-point strategy for saying what you mean but with love. And the first is never speak when angry. I've told my children, again, this is a lesson learned, and have I ever yelled at them? Yes, I have. But I've, you know, really try hard not to, and I will say to them when I'm angry, I'm so upset with you right now that I there is going to be a punishment, but I don't know what it is right now, and I do want to talk to you about it, but I can't. And so that's very, you know, like almost like rule number one, you know, never, if you're really, really upset and it's going to be character assassination, it's better not to say that. The second is to be prepared. There were some situations that happened over and over again. So, for example, when when the kids were little and we were going to go somewhere, I set the guidelines because I did not want them going to someone's house and just tearing around and running after their friends and having me be very angry with them and, you know, wanting to reprimand them for that. So I always prepared ahead of time not only what the situation was going to be before we got there, and I've talked about this in hosting holiday events with children. That's a podcast on Vintage Homeschool Moms, and you can look for that. But also be prepared with what I'm going to say. If you have a child that does the same, thing again and again, you may want to be a little bit prepared about what you can say to that child so that when that situation happens, you're going to be prepared and you're not going to get upset. The third is, again, recurring situations. Be sure that you address them individually and don't keep a scorecard. And not to say that I haven't done this. This is like the 10th time I'm telling you, not to leave your towel on the floor. And I remember getting very upset because it was the end of the day and my kids were notorious for just throwing their towels on the floor in the bathroom. And it wasn't even like we had stayed at a, five-star hotel where they tell you to do that when you leave so they know, whether to replenish your towel with a clean one. But it was just like, come on, how many times do I have to tell you this? And they were in bed, So finally, the solution was that even though, we'd said our prayers and they were tucked in bed, I would go in and I would say to my son, and again, this was my husband's brilliant idea. I didn't think of this myself. Mike, you left your towel on the floor, because he was the biggest rule breaker with this one. Mike, you left your towel on the floor and you're going to have to, go and pick it up and hang it up. And he's like, really, Mom? I just got all comfortable. And I'm like, yes, son, because, we've talked about this before. I didn't even go into, you're not supposed to put the towel on the floor and da-da-da, and we live in Florida, and how many times have you picked up a towel, and this has happened to me, or there's a huge roach under it. Gross. Even though we had the spray guy come and, everything that they use is so non-toxic now to humans that it's also non-toxic, I feel, to our, our friendly critters that we'd rather have outside. And in fact, I've started using essential oils, which almost works better than the pest guy coming. So, that was, even though I explained to them, the reason I don't like you to put your towels on the floor is because Mom's picked it up before and I've had to scream. And then of course I've got everybody in there, running to see if I'm okay. And so, we addressed the recurring situations, but not, how many times have I told you? Because that seems like that little intro, it makes them turn you off. The fourth is sometimes we have to agree to disagree. Now, this would be more for someone outside of the family, because hopefully in the family, you're not going to have a situation that's so horrendous that you're going to have to agree to disagree. You don't want your children telling you, I'm sorry, Mom, I just really can't support your position on, such and so. And that is definitely not a good thing. So, we want to make sure that, especially with, like maybe a relative outside of the family, your core family, like a, someone that you've discussed something with, or it could be a friend, something like that, where, you obviously are not equipped to change somebody's mind, which is really the last point I want to make. Every conversation, or even saying what you mean with love, doesn't necessarily have to change that person's mind. I mean, we can plant seeds, but it doesn't mean that we have to reap the harvest. And the same thing with our kids. One of the things that I learned early on from one of our pastors, and he was a very, he's Irishman, he was our parish priest, and he still is, and he's in his 70s now, and he's still very vibrant. But one of the things he said to me one time when I was really annoyed with one of my kids, and I brought it to his attention and said, well, how do you think I should handle this? And he basically said, as a parent, we consistently save our kids. And, we keep, when they're little, we keep them from getting hurt. And when they're older, we want to keep them from getting hurt. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes all you can do is plant a seed and let God do the rest. And I think that is excellent advice, especially when you're saying, what you mean with love. Because all you can do is plant a seed, whether it is sharing the gospel message, or, you know, talking to somebody, as I did recently, who shared with me that she had two abortions, but previous to that, and I asked her, I said, you know, how did this happen, or, you know, what led up to it? And when we were done with the conversation, you know, which she had been said some very hurtful things to me prior to that. And, you know, because she was just like so appalled at my position on my pro-life position. And, you know, I finally, after I had, she and I discussed her decisions, and I said to her, did I say anything hateful to you? Did I? And she said, no. And I said, did I call you all kinds of names because of what you did that is in total opposition of what I believe? And she said, no, you didn't. And I said, that's how a conversation is supposed to happen, because I, in Christian love, would want the birth of every child. And I said, you have a different position, and your position comes, you know, which is diametrically opposed to mine. But what good would it do for me to call you all kinds of hateful things? And, you know, she just looked at me, and I said, you know, you accused me of a lot of things, and I could have done the same to you, and I choose not to. And I said, that is the difference, I think, in my position as a Christian, that as a Christian, I am to love you. I don't necessarily need to like what you do, or, you know, encourage it, or, you know, back you up in that. I said, but I also am charged to, you know, share truth with you as you're open to it. And I asked if she was, and she said, no, she wasn't. And I said, well, then all I can do is pray for you. And she said, I would rather you don't. Oh, my gosh. And so you honor that. You know, I don't necessarily, like I said, have to reap the harvest. So with those things, never speaking in angry, being prepared, you know, be aware of reoccurring in situations and address those individually. Agree that we can agree to disagree and to plant seeds and not necessarily harvest them will go a very long way in helping you to say what you mean with love. And, you know, that old adage, you know, it's old now, but it used to be, you know, all the rage, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, just remember, Jesus gave us amazing examples with his life and how he was able to treat others. And that's what we need to do, my friends. So God bless. Thanks so much for listening. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.